Thank you, Ms. Clark. Thank you, Brother Hector. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Luke. It's been good. The music's been good. Thank you, choir. And just take a minute this morning before I get to the message and just testify a minute. He's been good through this Christmas season, but God's always been good.
Amen.
He's been faithful even when I haven't been faithful. And I just thank God for this time of Christmas, the church, the ministry. I'm thankful for all the things that this morning we, a little bit down, a lot of the college students gone on our bus routes, and it didn't seem like a whole lot, but to you maybe, but I was driving my chariot furiously from where I preach at in the morning to get here so that I could be here for it, but I got a little bit late. Coming in, and I was thankful to just see the kids lined up out back, and that, amen, and all those, and we gave them we gave them a little bit of a different New Testament this year. It's a little bit of a study Bible to it, and so just thankful. God's been working, and people have been getting saved, people getting baptized here at our church, and God is just good, amen, and he's so good, he rescued a sinner like me, amen, and I can't help it. When the Holy Spirit squeezes my heart, water comes out of my eyes. Amen. And so I'm appreciative of him. I want to ask the Lord to help me this morning. And so if you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we'll be in the beginning in Luke chapter 2 as we get ready to read the scripture and preach this morning. Let's pray together. Dear God, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for all the music that's been sung about your son and about the redemption power that is in his blood. God, I pray that today that you would use me. Use this, everything that I am, I surrender it again to you, God, for you to use the message that you laid upon my heart from your word, God. I pray that you would, Holy Spirit of God, do what I cannot do. You go into the hearts of the hearers, and you do a work, and you draw all men unto the Son of God. I pray, God, that if there's one that is in the building today that is without the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. God, I beg you for your saints, that you would encourage them without a doubt. There are those that have lost people, God, that it is heavy upon their heart and mind. And God, I pray that you just heal and help and give peace that only you can give this morning. I pray, God, that you would do what you choose to do through your word. I pray that you would be glorified and lifted up because of what is said today. We'll ask it all in the name of the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke chapter 2, a familiar story. And for the tape room, we'll use the title, The Crossings of Christmas. The Crossings of Christmas. I'm like history. I don't know how about you guys. I'm hoping you do, because I'm going to talk a little bit about history. But even when we think about history, I can't help but go back to what I've been told since I was a child, that history is simply his story. And when we sum up all of the scripture, and although some of the history that is written in the scripture is yet future, I thank God that there are so many people that believe that prophecies of the one that would come. I taught Sunday school in the married couples class upstairs about Matthew chapter 2. And there were some very wise men that believed the predictions of a coming Messiah. And they weren't even Jews necessarily, but they knew of one. And sometimes we call them magi and kings, but a wise man is someone that I would say is described by someone who could depict from the stars and from the scriptures that the coming of the Messiah was at that time and in that place. And I'm thankful for just being able to be in church today. I've contemplated as I go through this Christmas time. We went to Walmart, and you pray for me. It's been a long time since I was in that place, and I did. I went on Christmas Eve. The Lord protected me. He watched over me, and I went in, and I came back out, and my vehicle was still there, and it was just, I mean, there was blessings all around, I'm just thankful for this Christmas season. But as I walked through that place and the hustle and bustle of this season, and I know that it's all about Jesus Christ and about his coming, but I looked at so many who had so many different worried looks upon their face, and it was all about the gifts. It was all about the season, and it was all about the getting and the getting for others and giving. And I thought to myself, you know, where would I be? I took myself back to the place where I when I came to Christ. And where would I be if it hadn't have been for somebody that went to a town and gave themselves and gave their all, planted themselves and died to self and gave themselves to their church and to the ministry? In my hometown, there was no independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in my hometown until my preacher left a comfortable position at a church that he had gone to BBC out there and was pastoring a little church in the country, but was burdened in his heart to leave that place. And I think about the crossing that it was in his life to leave out there in Missouri and to leave what was a solid job of getting paid to preach the gospel every week, had just built a new building, but turned it all over to a brand new pastor to come to my hometown and to start with nothing. Come to the place where I lived. He didn't even know me. He didn't know my family. He didn't know anything about me, but he left his place there, and he came and started in a Holiday Inn of all places and planted a church. It was a crossing for me, folks. I can go back and mark it. I can show you the buildings and all the places where the church has met through the years and to where it finally laid the foundation of its own brand new building on 17 acres and built a church and then bought the 100 acres next to it and just built, I mean, a place for the glory of God. And I mean, listen, that little church and that little place pales in comparison to the story that people tell about this place all over the country, about a place that, I mean, had been going for a while, but then all of a sudden a preacher showed up, and in the first year they had 500 in the building. And they built building after building after building and bought block after block after block of the town. And this place and this church is not buildings, but the people that make it up. We look to build a museum of all the things, not to show the things that we've done, but to show the things that God has done through his people. God has always chosen to use his people. I look back through history, and I like to read a little bit every once in a while, not only the scripture, but some history. And I don't know if you know about the crossing of the Delaware. I'm not from Delaware. I'm from Maryland, but my wife is from Delaware. Amen. And that Delaware River, you know, there's places that it's really wide and other places where it's real shallow. And on Christmas night, one of the generals of our Revolutionary War, a pivotal place, a pivotal time in our country's history, George Washington, not president then, but general, had devised a plan for a sneak attack, not only on the British, but on those that were helping them, the Hessians. And they were entrenched in Trenton, New Jersey, and he was planned on three different groups merging on that fort there in Trenton, and they were going to cross. But you know, only one group of the Continental Army made it across the river that night. Midnight, hours after they had planned to cross, in the cold, chilly water, with 2,400 men. I don't know if you understand even if we all decided to get in a boat and cross a little tiny bit of river, it'd take something to do. But with 2,400 soldiers, cannons, I don't know if you've carried a cannon before, but they're not light. They had 4-pounders, 5-pounders, and 6-pounders that they took across the water that night. So they had the artillery to take fight that night. Almost 2,000 pounds is what a 6-pounder cannon from that day weighed. And they didn't just take the cannons. They had to shoot something out of the cannon. They took the artillery with them. The men, and they crossed the river that night, and they, early that next morning, on the 26th, they assaulted a garrison and took 1,000 of those men prisoner. And because the other two didn't cross and they couldn't hold the ground, they crossed back across the icy waters of the Delaware that day with 1,000 men in tow, not just with the cannons and all the artillery. And why did they do it? Why did they attack something? It seemed like a tiny little victory, but because they had been losing. They needed a victory. They needed something that would spur on into the brand new year of victory that would press on the Continental Army and eventually bring into fruition a brand new country. Hey, in history, that is a historical crossing of Christmas. That is a time when a general went to war, and I mean, people, there's paintings of it. And listen, he would cross the Delaware 3 times during that winter season, but that is the one that we remember. That is the one that has a painting. That is the one with him standing. Even Geico made a commercial with him going across the highway in the front of the bow. It's something from history that we hold on to because it's historical. It mattered. It changed the world. It changed the course of events. Do you know at Christmas time is historical, but it is a time of change. It's a time when things changed. If you don't think so, let's look at the story. We'll read it again. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, but it is the day after Christmas. And I read portion of this Scripture, but Luke chapter 2, if you would indulge me to read the Scripture again and to go through with it with you today, I want to preach about the crossings of Christmas. Here we find in verse number 1, "And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all the world went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I just want to take time to preach to you just a little while about some of the crossings of Christmas. I know that so many times when people, and definitely atheists, read the Scripture and they try to mistake away some of these things, and for time's sake this morning, we will make reference to Matthew chapter 2 and the providential star that happened to come from the night sky that led a group of wise men to see the Savior. But not only did that happen, but they reached the time. Now, and we understand, I think I'm talking to a group of people that realize that one event happens at his birth and one happens a little bit later. But both of these are things that we talk about at the Christmas season. But the crossings that happened at Christmas, I don't know about you, but it's always been, I don't like to pay taxes. But I realize that I am a citizen of this country. And I don't mind paying my fair share. It's when they get digging too deep. Or when they think, and for most of us today, we could say, we would talk about, you know, what is his fair share? I like those politicians that say, if 10% is good enough for Jesus, 9% is good enough for the federal government. Amen? And so anyway, we'll carry on that debate later. But anyway, you know, as we approach this, we realize, do you think that Caesar Augustus just decided one day that he was going to tax the whole world? Do you think that he just sat there in his study one night and said, you know how I'll fix this problem? I'll tax the whole world. I don't know if you realize, even in our day, one of the reasons that people are up in arms is because they realize that they have a tax code that hardly no one understands. Not even the people that collect. How are the people that have to pay supposed to know what the people that collect don't even know? But they decided they know how to get more money coming in. We'll just get more people that collect it. To dig into the records of history and to get after you. You say, well, that's not what happened. I'm going to tell you, they had to have some tax collectors back in this day. Because not only, the only way that they could figure out that they could tax everybody was to have the records of where they were born. So that they had to return to the city of origin of their family. For me, I had to get a brand new birth certificate when we moved down here one time, and I had to go all the way back to my hometown to get it. Because the piece of paper that I had did not say birth certificate, it said birth record. This is a certificate of your birth. Now, they would not take that at the DMV to give me a new license here. So I went all the way home to get a new piece of paper that said birth certificate. This is a record of your birth. It cost me $20 and all the gas money to get there and get that thing. Now you say, why did they do that? Because they wanted $20. And it was important to them because now they're trying to make sure they have everything scanned in and they keep good records of where you came from and where you were born. Now, they only do that for citizens of this country. Now, that is I can't go where I want to go with that because there's not enough time left. But in this Christmas season, when I begin to read, I realize the crossing that had to happen, that God had to come across the king of all the world at the time, a Caesar. And he had to cross his life and tell him, you know what I need you to do? I need to get my son to the place that I said he was going to be born. I need him to be in Bethlehem. Now, I've already been in the life of Mary, and I've already been in the life of Joseph. I had those things recorded down in the scripture, but now I want people to really know that I'm God. I'm going to touch the life of the man who was greatest in all the world, and I'm going to twist the heart of the king to tax everybody and send them back to their hometown. You say, well, how's that special? Because he did it at just the right time, didn't he? Mary could have given birth anywhere along the way, but the taxing came and they arrived at just the right time, at just the right moment for the Savior of all the world to be born exactly where God Almighty said he would be born. That's a crossing that's unmistakable in history. It's such a historical time period, you can mark it down and go back in the Roman records and find when Caesar Augustus said this is when he set it forth and when it had to be paid. And somewhere between those two points, Jesus Christ was born in incarnation flesh in this world. Hey, that's a crossing that I can measure from the scriptures. Not only that, but how about the crossing that Mary and Joseph made? It was ordered by a Caesar, but Mary and Joseph, while she was great with child, had to make a trek that put them out in front of people. A bunch of people they probably didn't want to see. A bunch of people they didn't want to have to deal with. A place that they had probably not been in a long time. A place that definitely, I don't know about you, but I've had a few children. Not me personally, my wife did that. But I was there. Going, you know, on, you know, my wife and I, we like to ride horses, but not when she's pregnant. Not when there was a distance to travel. You say, what about now? I don't even want to ride them now that much. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, can you imagine what it was like in the life of Mary and Joseph? I mean, my home church puts on this thing and Joseph never gets to ride because Mary's pregnant. He puts her on the donkey. I don't know why it's a donkey, but it is a donkey. Could have been a camel. We don't know. But they lead him across. I can only imagine. Could you imagine being just a fly on the wall as they make the crossing from Galilee down to Judea? Can you imagine the transition and the conversations that went on? Both of them knowing that this is the very Son of God. I don't even know if they had talked about that the Christ child had to be born in Bethlehem. I mean, even the wise men who were pretty wise. They saw the star and came across, but they had to ask the chief priest and the scribes, whose job it was to study the scriptures and to pin them down where the Christ child would be born. Even Herod himself, one that it mattered greatly to, had studied the scripture, I'm sure, his whole life, but he had to be told where the Christ child would be born. And those men referenced that Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 and talked about that governor that would be born and come into the world. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but thinking about the great crossings of this world, I realize that God superintended and held on to a child all through the bumps in the road and all the walking and all the stops and all the places to get water until his child came into Bethlehem, where he said it was going to be all the time. That was a great crossing in history. Then I think about the shepherds. You know, the shepherds come, and I can only imagine how scary that was. I mean, you know they were scared because the angel said, fear not. I don't know about you, but even if an angel appeared in here today, I'd be a little freaked out. I'd probably would go, what-ah, like that. You know, I'd have to kind of like duck down and get a little scared and get a little worried about what was going on if an angel appeared in the room today. Now, don't kid yourself. You'd be scared too. All right? Everyone's reaction is different. Some people just sit and are scared to death. Other people run. Other people duck under the pew. I'm not sure why that is a reaction. You know, that's kind of the ostrich reaction. If they can't see me, if I can't see them, they can't see me. It didn't really work, folks, with angel. I just wanted to clue you in on that. But here the shepherds are abiding in the field. They're keeping watch over their flock by night, the Bible says. And these angels show up and they reveal to them. They could have revealed this to anyone. God has already turned the heart of a king. He could have revealed it to a king. He could have revealed it to Herod. He could have even revealed it to the wise men. They didn't get angels. They got a star. But to a lowly group of shepherds on a hillside, he stops and he says, hey, there's a great crossing happening right now. You need to run to Bethlehem to see this great thing. Can you imagine the crossing that happened right then? They said they even brought haste. That's one of the names of the shepherds, right? They came with haste. You never heard that one before? I mean, they ran. I mean, they hurried to see the Christ child, and they were given, and as we preached on it last week, they found him in swaddling clothes. I don't know how much of a defining mark that was, but I'm sure lying in a manger, being in Bethlehem, this time of day and when the Christ child was born, and just the magnificence of seeing an angel who told them where to find him. I can only imagine the crossing, and the crossing that when they went back to see that the shepherds went back to the field and they were glorifying and praising God, telling everybody about what they had seen. That was a great crossing, folks, of history. The star that evidently crossed the western sky heading east, and a bunch of wise men picked it out of the sky, and they made their way. And you know, I know people have tried to explain it away and come up with every other theory other than this was a supernatural event of God for him to put a star in the sky for his son. You could explain it away all you want, but that's what happened. And a great crossing happened when the stars. Do you know that even in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that every man is without excuse because of what stands in the sky today? This morning, you know, we have all the days of Christmas and everything, but one of the great things this morning, I sat with a cup of coffee as the sun began to break the horizon, and I thought about the power of Almighty God, and I thought about his greatness, and I thought every day, sometimes I take for granted the great crossings that happen, and that I watch the sun rise and fall, and it happens faithfully every day, and sometimes I don't even wake up to see it, but it's the power of God keeping everything going just like he said it would until his return. But it happened just like it was. The great crossing of the star, we can't limit the greatness of that. Men took notice.
men followed it. Even in Matthew chapter 2, it talks about how they rejoiced when they saw the star. They left Herod. And I don't know, maybe the night sky, and they were afraid they were going to miss it, or it wasn't the right distance, but the star appeared again and went before them until it stood over where the child was. Folks, you say, well, that's a UFO. Explain it away all you want. It was a star just like the Bible said it was, and it was sent of God for his son. One of the greatest crossings in all of history was the star that crossed over the eastern sky and stood before our Lord. Hey, not only that, but how about the wise men? Can you imagine the journey that they made? I can only imagine. I mean, most of us, we get upset when we have to make the journey down I-4. It's bumper to bumper traffic all the time. We don't even, when I tell people that I live in Haines City, they go, oh, the place with traffic. That's what they say. If they're from like Lake Placid or anywhere south, that's what they see. They come up 27. What do you find when you get to Haines City? Traffic. The great crossings in this life. We get upset if we get across town. I get upset when I have to cross across through the aisles of Walmart. But imagine if I could say it this way, can you imagine what they thought they would find as they crossed the countryside? They crossed the, if I could put it this way, the Holy Land to find the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can only imagine the anticipation of the heart of a group of wise men as they sought for a king. It's a great crossing of history, folks. I think about the crossing of the Son of God, and I preached on it a few weeks ago, but something that is unexplainable, really, other than it was just God, was how God had the Holy Spirit of God overshadow a virgin and take something that was supernatural and form it into a fleshly body in the womb of a virgin and let the everything of an almighty God be made up. I don't know how to explain it. My daughter just had a sonogram, and it was early. And, you know, I mean, the baby's like a peanut. And I couldn't help but think, because of the time of year it was, that what a great and powerful crossing that happened when God took all that God is and he put him in the size of a peanut. What? And he didn't do that just because he could. He didn't do that just to prove a point that he was God. He did that so that he could rescue a sinner like me. He did that so he could rescue a sinner like you. One of the greatest crossings of all of Christmas in all of history was when God Almighty crossed over from the supernatural to the natural realm. Hey, folks, I'll go back to George Washington. Can you imagine the anticipation that happened as the men had prepared and borrowed and snatched up every boat or anything that would float so that they could put men and cannons and ammunition so they could just cross a river? Can you imagine the preparation that was made throughout history? We've just named a few that happened at Christmas time, but we could go throughout time and all the preparation that was made throughout history for the coming of the Lord. Prophet after prophet after prophet that would foretell the coming and who he was, where he would be born, and what he would do once he was here. And Jesus came and fulfilled every one. He came and crossed the great divide of the supernatural into the natural realm. And that same Jesus went to battle, just like General Washington did. Went to battle for me. He went to battle for you. He went to battle for my soul and for yours. Took my sin upon himself. Took my hell upon himself. And rose again victorious. And he crossed back over. You know, the exciting thing for me is when he'll make the next crossing. I looked in the news this week, Believer, just let me tell you that if there was ever a time when the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh, this is that time. When they talk about a chip going into somebody's head and a chip going into our hands to verify that we've been vaccinated, when countries of the world have already said, you cannot exit your home if you're not vaccinated, you better believe the Lord draweth nigh. You say, are you trying to scare us, preacher? No, I'm just trying to tell you the reality of the time that you live. I'm trying to remind you that Christ came not to purchase for you the home that you have, or to purchase for you the car that you always dreamed of, or even the retirement that you always wanted, but he came to redeem you from your sins. He come and paid for death and hell, and he took the keys to both and went home. And he said he was coming back for us, didn't he? He said, where I am, there you may be also. The most comforting words to this preacher is that he not only made a way, but he made a place for me. And he said he was coming back for me one day. I made a crossing at 15 years old in my life. I remember I was sitting in church, and I had been in church all my life. And I mean, I had grown up and heard the gospel and heard the gospel and heard the gospel. But God had been working on me. And I realized that mom and daddy's salvation wasn't going to get me to heaven. No good works were going to get me to heaven. No prayer was going to get me to heaven. It was simply putting my faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary that was going to give me salvation, because there was salvation in no other name under heaven except that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the crossing that happened for me that day, I've never been the same since then. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I've not looked back from that day till this. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. And I have looked forward to his coming. I'm preaching to a group of people that the majority of you know that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but you know about all the crossings that I preached about. Many of you have had that first crossing for yourself, but many of us are not longing necessarily for the appearing of our great God in the rapture. Maybe we're not ready. And the day after Christmas, say, what do you preach to a group of people that know that Jesus is coming back? They see the signs of the time. I would implore you, as we approach, we're not guaranteed to click off a brand new year. We're not guaranteed another day before the trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ comes back for his church. Hey, what do you preach to a group of people? Be prepared for when he comes. Say, well, preacher, what do you mean be prepared? I mean, be saved. Know that you know that you know that you're saved. Evaluate your life and make sure that you are a part of the beloved. If you check that box, I'm saved, preacher. I know that I am. I'm going to heaven. Are you ready to meet him? Are there some things between you and him that you'd rather not see him face to face with, getting him under the blood of Jesus Christ? Is there some things that you haven't been doing that you thought, man, I want to be found faithful? What is faithful, preacher? You know the Holy Spirit just told you. You marked it off. You marked off the area that you would say, I'm not faithful in that area. I don't need to preach on it. The Holy Spirit just did for me in your heart. Hey, folks, with the hour that we live and the crossing, if I could say it like this, the next crossing for the Christian. On the edge, I mean, we ought to be on the edge of our seat waiting for him to come back. You say, is it really that close? I thought it was close when Pastor used to preach 10 years ago. I thought it was going to happen before I got out of the church building. If it was close back then, it's close now. Now we see all the governments of the world trying to line up under one world power. I think that's predicted in the scripture. We see all the governments of the world trying to get on board with one economic system. And listen, they've tried that for years, but they're getting closer than they ever have before. They're abandoning that paper money and they're going to something that's digital. So you trying to scare us, preacher? No. My job is to say, awake. Look up. Your salvation draweth nigh. At this Christmas time, if you're not saved, why don't you have the greatest crossing that you'll ever have in this life and come to Christ and accept Him as your Savior? If you're a believer, the second greatest crossing of a Christian's life after they're saved is crossing over from just salvation to realizing He's Lord of my life. I mean, giving Him your all. What it would be like if God gave you one more year to set Him up on the throne room of your heart and to really live one year and your everything be given to Him. Every thought, every heartbeat, everything you are be dedicated to the Savior that came and died for the whole world. You say, can that be possible, preacher? I'm married. I love my family. What about them? He told you to love your family. He told them to take care of you. Everything that we think about, when we start thinking about what could come before Jesus Christ, He's already thought about it, and He put it in His word of how you're supposed to take care of it. Nothing. Oftentimes, it's us that give our excuse. Most of the time, it's not our family that we want to put first. Somewhere in there, it's me. The greatest thing you could do this Christmas season, the wise men came and presented all these gifts. But if you're a Christian and you know you're on your way to heaven, the greatest thing you could present to Christ this year is you. Holy and solely saying, God, I'm yours. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm going to give you me this next year, this 2022. I'm yours. From now till then, everything that I am is yours. Listen, today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we've talked about crossings. The crossings of Christmas, and we realize Jesus came. He not just came as a, He didn't just come as a babe in the manger, but He came and died on Calvary. Paid for your sin. Lived a perfect life. Lived a life that you couldn't live. And then died on the cross to pay your sin debt. To pay a debt that you couldn't pay. To take you to a heaven that you couldn't get to on your own. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the crossing that you need to make today is crossing from death unto life. You need to come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and we'll give you an invitation. The invitation is simply inviting you to come down to the front where we can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you doubt it, you're not sure about it, don't wait another day. Come and get it settled. If God is speaking to your heart, and Christians, we invite you to come. Maybe there's something that's been between you and God and you don't want to hold on to it another day. Come and make a crossing of your own and ask for forgiveness for those things of the past and give yourself wholly to the Savior for a brand new year. We'll ask you to stand on your feet. As the musicians begin to play and Brother Burt begins to sing, the invitation is for you. If God spoke to your heart, you step out and come and receive Him today.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul
your heads with me this morning. God's spoken to your heart and you're here and you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Please don't leave the building today not being sure. We can take a Bible and show you exactly what the Bible says on how you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. As Brother Burke gets ready to sing, if you would step out while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and people are praying for you, why don't you step out and come? While nobody's looking but me and the Lord, step out and come and receive Christ.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, it is He
lesson we've had today, all the different music, and we appreciate you being with us. And for those of you that visited with us, thank you for being here with us. And some of you, we go way back, and you're visiting family. Thank you for being here and being a part with us. And we just want to encourage you to come back. We'd love to have you. I do not know who has the numbers. Anybody got that number for me? I see that hand. Come on down and whisper that number to me, my brother. Number that we're speaking of, if you're going, what number is this? Amen. This number is the missions number that we're going to set for next year. And I know we've had a lot of people give and give those numbers. They had a total before. Amen. Well, it's a pretty good total. And I think it's close enough. We're going to go ahead and we're going to keep up the 500,000. Amen. It's a little bit under that, but it'd be a shame to go back on some of our missionaries that we want to keep on the field. And God has been faithful every year since we set it up that high to be there. And God's people have been faithful to continue to give as God gave it to them. And so I appreciate every one of you that filled out a card and put that in. And we ask you to, as we start out a brand new year here in just a few days, we'll start out continuing to give to the same total again. Because hopefully those missionaries are going to be faithful till Jesus comes. Amen. And they need something other than money. They need us to pray for them, don't they? I saw one of them that this morning reached out to me and asked me to pray for him. He had a great need. You know what the need that he asked for? It was money. And he talked about they had their Christmas program and saw a little over, they gave out 5,000 flip-flops and apples during the Christmas season and gave the gospel to everybody that came to take one. You say, well, how many people got saved? He said, I stopped counting a long time before the end of it. You say, how many people got saved? I don't know, but a bunch. And I'm thankful that this year God has blessed us. And we're always sad when somebody doesn't walk the aisle, but we've had a lot of folks walk the aisle recently, haven't we? A lot of people in the baptismal tank. And the best way to do that is to start and just keep praying and keep going and doing all the things that we've been doing. We're going to ask you to come back tonight. We'll be back in this place. It is our practice to have Sunday night church, and so we'll do it again. Amen. Amen. And so we'd love to see you here tonight. We're going to ask Brother Perkins. Brother Perkins, would you come and close us out in prayer? Appreciate Brother Perkins and all he does.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the message that we heard, Lord. We do thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, Father, that's brought the gift of salvation to us. We thank you for that. And Father, as we dismiss this morning, Lord, we pray that you'll take us home safe. Bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.